Good evening and welcome once again.
Might kindly turn, please, to the book of Proverbs. Again, we shall read from chapter 31. Proverbs 31, the last chapter, and reading verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So once again, the Lord will bless to us this section of his precious word. Once again, by way of introduction, we have seen the various presentations of the church. In the Word of God, we saw that the church is presented to us as a body and as a building, but also as a bride. In Revelation 15, we have a projection of what the bride of Christ will be in a coming day, adorned for her husband. But I suggest again that what we have here in chapter 31 of the Proverbs is a picture of the bride of Christ, what she should be now in the absence of the husband. Because all these transactions were done in the absence of the husband. We looked at some several brides in the Old Testament that were very costly, but the costliest bride of all is the bride of Christ, bought at infinite cost, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Her price is far above rubies. And then we observe her devotedness. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Her devotedness. And then we also saw her earnestness. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. We concluded last Wednesday somewhat hurriedly on verse 14, where we have her faithfulness. She is like the merchant ships, notice the plural tense. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. We saw that the Word of God indeed is precious, good food for us, the people of God. And it's very important upon what we feed in order that our souls might be elevated and drawn closer to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God always brought food from afar to meet the need of his people. We saw that the manna was food from afar. It was a picture of the coming Lord Jesus Christ. And for 40 years, they received food from afar. And the Lord said, I am the true bread which came down from heaven, and that is food from afar. We must feed upon the person of Christ. She believed in a balanced diet, food from afar. And she saw to it that the household got food convenient for the household. And truly we must feed on Christ and we must feed on the Word of God. A balanced diet. Because the Word of God brings before us certain elements that are beneficial for the upbuilding of the spiritual man. Ministry is of threefold character, it's balanced. We have exhortative ministry, we have edifying ministry, and we have comforting ministry. Exhortative ministry stirs up God's people. Edifying ministry builds up God's people. And comforting ministry binds up God's people. So we feed in the best, but we feed in Christ and we feed on the Word of God, her faithfulness. Now tonight we'll look at her alertness. Her alertness. She riseth also while it is yet night, Notice the word night, and gave it meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. I want you to read with me a supportive verse in the book of Isaiah, chapter 21. Isaiah 21. I'm reading verse 11. The burden of Duma. He calleth to me out of fear. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return come. We are in the night season. As God's people, we are in the night season. And that demands that we be alert and vigilant to everything that is going on all around us. This woman was alert and vigilant in the night season. And I believe two things were flooding her mind in the night. One, of course, was the care of the household. She giveth a portion to her maidens, and she giveth food to the household. So here was one thought that was permeating her mind, a care for the household. But also, I believe, she was looking for the coming of the husband, the care of the household and the coming of the husband. She was looking for his return. These two things should characterize us as the people of God in the night season. We should be alert, and we should have a care for the household of God. We should share one another's burden. The hungry, the destitute, the lonely, the bereaved. Tremendous opportunity for us to minister to those who are in need. A care for the household. But we also should be alert in the night season because of the coming of the husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me suggest to you tonight, first of all, there is the preparation for his return. And then there is the presentation, because in chapter 25 of the book of Matthew, we read those words, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. The preparation, the presentation, go, and the perfection, him. Go ye out to meet him. We must be alert. Paul says, ye are the children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunk in the night. But ye are children of the day. Let us, therefore, he says, who are of the day, be sober, be alert, be vigilant. And let us put on a breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We must be alert. The Lord mentioned that when men were asleep, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. We must be alert. Watchmen, what of the night? We are living in the last dark days of this dispensation. And that is what brings the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I read with you from the book of Isaiah, because we are in the night. Paul says in writing to young Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men should be lovers of their own self, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We are in the night season. And beloved friends, the darkness is intensifying. Watchmen, watch of the night. It was a burden to the prophet to make such a message, the burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. And it's a burden when we realize that we are in the night season and we have members of our family, our neighbors, our work associates who are still without Christ. It's a tremendous burden. And it ought to cause us to be alert and to be active in order to attract them to the man who is coming. It was a burden to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here, when he saw men in nature's darkness. You remember, he came to preach the gospel to the poor. There was a burden. And there he stood in the Mount of Olives and tears coursing down his blessed cheeks. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered thee as a hen, though God had good under her wing, but ye would not. It was a burden. And the Apostle Paul, as he viewed his nation, the nation of Israel, he said, my heart's desire and prayer for God, to God for Israelites, that they might be saved. It's a burden. The burden of Duma. And we must sound the trumpet. Because we are in the night. Ezekiel said, but if the watchmen see the sword come and warn not the people, his blood will I require of the watchmen. So we as God's children are under obligation as watchmen to blow the trumpet. To warn men and women, boys and girls, that we are in the night. It's a tremendous burden. He calleth me out of Seir. That word Seir means a storm. A storm. And the storm is raging today. It has reached an unprecedented dimension because Satan is the prince of the power of the air and he's causing a tremendous storm. And isn't it significant tonight that the battle that is raging in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Iraq, the Allied forces, it's the desert storm. The storm is raging. That word seer, and that is the territory out there where this message comes from, and there is a storm, and it is raging. Men's hearts, the imagination is only evil continually. Satan is a master of deception, and he's causing this storm. As Jude says, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own lusts on the rocks of immorality. What a storm. It was General Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, that made a great prediction. Because let's face it, friend, the storm is raging. There is racial tension everywhere. Political chaos. Economic turbulence. International intrigue. The storm is raging. General Booth said that the dangers of the 20th century is a Christianity without Christ. Religion without the Spirit. Forgiveness without repentance. Salvation without regeneration. Politics without God. And heaven without hell. He was no Ezekiel or Zechariah, but General Booth was right on target. Christianity without Christ. A spokesman for the United Church of Canada said, when I was in Ottawa some time ago, the sooner we get Christ out of Christianity, there will be more unity in the world. A spokesman from the United Church of Canada. Taking Christ out of so-called Christianity. Religion without the Spirit. My next door neighbor died some time ago with cancer. We were very close to him. Lovely neighbor if ever there was one. I went to the hospital, read with him, prayed with him, got him home in my car. He didn't want to go in an ambulance. Put him next door into his home. And I tried to relate to him about Christ, his need of getting saved, dying with cancer. He said, "You know, Neil, I've never been very religious, as you know. But," he said, "there's so much confusion about these things today." Scared. Religions by the mile. Ceremony and ritual. Religion without the Spirit. To be in the possession of the Holy Spirit is what counts for eternity. And there's no salvation without the possession of the Holy Spirit. And his general good. Forgiveness without repentance. People say that they are born again, they are Christians, and live like the devil. There's no change in their life. And that is contrary to the word of God. John the Baptist had a burden, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Tell it as it is. God is listening. And you remember when Peter challenged the Sanhedrin about the man they crucified. They said, "What shall we do?" Peter says, "Repent and be baptized for or unto the remission of sins." There has to be a change in the life, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, all things become new. We gravitate to what pleases God. And if that is not in evidence, then there's a question mark as to the so-called spiritual experience. And salvation without regeneration. Likewise, no change. Regeneration is the impartation of everlasting life. That should bring out the evidence of the new birth. Politics without God. When I think of that great country, the United States, its foundation, men like Peter Marshall would go to the Senate and the Congress and preach message that would stir the heart of any Christian. Today you can't even mention the Bible or prayer in the school system. Thank God for the Bahamas. But you can do it. And keep praying that it'll keep going on. This great country. Men like John Quincy Adams, President of the United States, used to read the Bible 3 times a day. Abraham Lincoln says, "I believe that the Bible is the greatest gift that God has given to men. All the good of the Savior of the world is communicated to us in the book." These were the language of honest Abe. For the heritage. Just in Florida a month ago, a school teacher mentioned the Bible and prayer. The parents of a student took it to court and fined $10,000 for talking about the Bible and prayer in the school system. Well, might President Bush advocate again for prayer to be reinstituted in the school system. Because righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Politics without God, and we get tired listening to the separation of church from state. What a tragedy. And the U.S. will pay a price unless there's an adjustment made. And heaven without hell. Even some so-called evangelicals, men that I thought were men of character and had the thing of God in their possession, are even talking about now that after the great white throne of judgment, it will be annihilation for the ungodly. You'll never find that in the Word of God. It's eternal blessing for the saints of God. And it's eternal punishment for the Christ rejecter, where the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched. Oh, how men can depart from the Word of God. And there's a book in circulation, Repent or Perish, to counteract this nefarious approach to the judgment of eternal things. Seer means a storm, and the storm is raging. This other word is interesting, called Duma. Watchman, what of the night? The burden of Duma. And that word Duma means silence. Silence. For 2,000 years, God has been silent. And very soon, because we are in the night, the trumpet is going to sound. Up in Toronto, a dear brother had a great objection to an instrument in the hall and was giving great vocal displeasure to such a thing. And at the end of the meeting, an old sister took him aside. She said, "Brother, you might as well get used to an instrument. For the first thing you're going to hear when Christ comes is the sound of a trumpet. The trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed." 2,000 years God has been silent, inasmuch as some men have said God is dead. But God is very much alive. And that trumpet will sound. And it could sound tonight. Because we are in the night. You remember the priceless illustration of this was seen in the historical record of the four Gospels. When the Lord Jesus Christ was not with the disciples, he was on a mountain prayer. And they were down in the Sea of Gennesaret, and there was a storm. The storm was raging. And their hearts were filled with fear, and these were men who were acquainted with boats and with storms. And the Lord knew that they were in the boat, that they were marked by anxiety. And he left the place of prayer, and you remember, he walked upon the sea. And we read those words, and it was in the fourth watch of the night. And that's the darkest hour, the darkest watch of the night. Is the fourth watch. The first watch is from 6 in the evening till 9. The second watch from 9 till midnight. The third watch from midnight till 3 in the morning. And the fourth watch is from 3 till 6 in the morning. Now, the first watch of church history was in apostolic days. And what a watch that was. When the gospel went forth in power and thousands of souls were saved. That was the first watch of the night. The second watch was in the Dark Ages, when Bibles were out of existence, called the Dark Ages. But we thank God for the third watch of the night, which is called the cock crowing. The third watch of the night. That was in the days of Martin Luther, when God in his kindness brought back justification by faith and raised men like Luther in Germany, John Knox in Scotland, Calvin in France, and Wycliffe was called the morning star of the Reformation. That was the cock crowing, the awakening. And thank God for these men. But the fourth watch of the night, from 3 until 6, is the darkest watch of the night. And that was the watch when Jesus joined the ship. And we read, and immediately they were on the other side, whither they went. The moment the Lord put his foot in that boat, immediately they were on the other side. My friend, we are in the fourth watch of the night. And this is the darkest watch of the church's history. And that is the watch that will bring the Lord Jesus Christ. At midnight, the cry went forth, "Go ye out to meet him." He's coming. And maybe tonight he'll join the ship. World War II, I was running between Bombay, India, and up the Persian Gulf, on the news every day right now, to a place called Abadan. We passed through one of the darkest nights I could ever remember in my 5.5 years in the Navy. A large tidal wave went ashore, and many were drowned, hundreds, thousands were drowned as a result of that tidal wave. I was a signal officer and I was on the bridge with the captain. We got a call from the crow's nest, the lookout, and he called the bridge and he said there was a light ahead. Well, in the days of World War II, there was a forced blackout aboard ships and it was unusual for a light to be ahead. So the captain ordered the ship a few degrees to starboard. And then suddenly, he said to me, he says, "Dougal," he said, "it's not a ship. It's the morning star." And there it was scintillating on the horizon. And he says, "Very soon the sun, if the clouds disappear," and he mentioned the number of degrees, "and the sun will appear." I said, "Thank you, sir." He had a ready ear for the gospel. His name was Captain Mosley. And I said, "Thanks for that information." I said, "Because Christ the Lord is coming back in the darkness of the night as the morning star. Revelation 22, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star." We wait to see the morning star appear in glory bright. This blessed hope illumines with beams most cheering the hours of night. She riseth also while it is yet night, alert to the fact that Jesus Christ, the husband, is coming back again. Watchmen, what of the night? But he says here, the morning cometh. The morning cometh. And so if Christ comes tonight, the night will be past. And there will be ushered in a morning. A morning without clouds. And there'll be no night there. The morning is coming, and with it, there will be resurrection. Resurrection in the morning. The apostle says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. When he joined that ship, immediately they were on the other side. In the twinkling of an eye, we will reach the other side. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the